You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
My prayer always when I'm preparing God's word is that obviously it will speak directly into our situations, and some of the things I prepared are beforehand. So if I've spoken to you this morning and you think I've just inserted it into the message, the chances are it was already there, and God clearly wanted to speak to each and every one of us this morning. And I really pray with love and compassion that as we go through the scriptures this morning, you will catch this, that God wants to speak directly into our situations this morning. So we are in a message called Repurpose. I've actually got a little picture up on there. I used a tape last week, basically because the tape stays the same, but what's on the tape can change. And that's sometimes a bit like us. We might not physically change on the outside, but what's on the inside can change. And you can't tell what's on the inside, can you? The outside can look lovely, but the inside, well, goodness only knows. And that's what God wants to do, repurpose. So I looked at it last week. This is a quick recap from last week. I know some weren't here, so you're going to say, that's useful, Darren, thank you. For those that were here, hopefully you're going to say, yeah, I got that bit. Thanks for going over that again. But last week I looked at three areas. It was purpose, authority, and repurpose. And it was really going right back to the beginning. We were in Genesis 3. We went right back to the beginning to actually look at what happened at the start. And how did Satan, Lucifer, the enemy, gain dominion or control of all the earth? And we actually looked at Adam and Eve initially. They had a purpose, and it says in the scriptures their purpose was to look after creation, increase in number, fulfill the earth, and subdue it. Probably not a word we use often, but bring it under control. And that was their commission. And I liked the word commission, because commission, one of the words, if you look it up in your Oxford dictionary, it says to bring something newly produced into a working action. And that was their commission. God had created this world, and it was theirs to look after and subdue it. But Adam and Eve, as we know, the Bible says they sinned, but they were tricked into sinning. Not by lying or stealing or any of those things, but the serpent in the garden deceived Adam and Eve and robbed them of their purpose. And actually, that's what this series is looking at, to say, well, how do we find our purpose? And have we been robbed of our purpose? And what do we need to do about it? I mentioned last time, God is a God of order. I see that's a God of order. I plan to wake up tomorrow, and I imagine the earth will still be here, and the sun's going to come up, and it's going to go down at the end of the day. The Big Bang Theory tells us it might go bang again. We don't know, even before the end of the message. Hallelujah, you might say. So it's wonderful, isn't it? Because God is a God of order. And what we see when we do look out this world, we see a broken world. And why is it broken? And this is what I came to start us off with our message, just to lay the foundations at the beginning. What does the Genesis account say? And there are some slides up on the screen with this. We're back in Genesis 3, so from one end of the Bible at the moment, back to the beginning. Eve saw the fruit was good, and she ate of it. The serpent never told Eve to go and eat that fruit. That wasn't what happened. Now, Adam sinned. You can read it, Genesis 3:6, if you want to look it, follow it through for yourself. Adam sinned by seeing what Eve had done and went along with it. God challenges them. What happens in Genesis 3:11? And then there's this series of blame. If you can remember last time, I was talking about blame. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. And the serpent blames no one. He remains silent. He doesn't reply or defend himself. Again, Genesis 3, 12 through 13. And the chain of blame here finishes with the serpent. Now, the serpent is cursed. God has to have something to say about this. And Adam and Eve are removed from the garden, and they can no longer fulfill what was their purpose. And actually, I pointed out what were the things that Eve was tempted with. Because sometimes we can be tempted with supposedly good things. Some things might sound really good. You can look at it in Genesis 3:5. The next slide says this. What did the serpent say to Eve? You will certainly not die. And as we said last time, Doesn't sound so bad, does it? Your eyes will be opened. I could do with some of that. I'd like to know a bit more stuff. You will be like God, not God, but you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, actually, if that was a new sermon series or an evening study and said, would you like to come along? You're certainly not going to die. Your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good or evil. You'd probably go, that sounds like a pretty good session, doesn't it? But actually, it's good stuff. But actually, the devil gets in and he twists. He just twists those things. And actually, the process was that Adam and Eve were robbed of their purpose. And we can see sometimes the devil, he removes our purpose with good things and also with horrible oppression. We do see it around the world. The world is broken. There are some horrible, wicked things that the enemy does. And the point is, we need to understand, I say, the arena or the football field or the world in which we actually live. And to do this, we need to understand who has authority. And again, I'm recapping on this, but I want to go over it again just in case a few people missed it. By recap, what did Adam do when God asked him what he'd done? I can't remember who I picked on last week, Ray and somebody else. But there's a chain of blame. Adam has responsibility. The responsibility and the authority was Adam's at that time. This is your purpose. And when it went wrong, Adam went, not mine, and passed it on to Eve. So Eve has now got the responsibility. And Eve went, oh, it's not mine, it was the snake, and passes it on to the snake. And the snake now has responsibility. There's a chain of blame. And the serpent did not defend himself. He went, thank you very much. That's what I wanted. Blame is a weapon that the enemy uses in so many different ways, and it is how he got dominion or control of this earth. Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent was silent, responsibility and dominion was passed to the serpent. And I asked last time, you know, blame is a powerful tool. What do you blame? Because what you blame, you empower. Now, silent Satan or Lucifer inherits the whole world because Adam and Eve would not face up to their responsibility, their part in the issue. So the buck stops with Satan. But what do you blame? And this is recap from last week's deal. What do you blame for situations in your life? And if you can remember, I think I've got some of these up on the screen. Careful what you blame. Blame poverty and you empower money, and money will rule your whole life. Blame the color of your skin. You start to empower racism, and racism might control your life. Abuse. I know a lot of people suffer from abuse. But blame the abuser, and that abuser has control over you for your whole life. And actually, this is where forgiveness and accepting responsibility comes. Now, Nikki did say to me, careful what you're saying here, because you've got to make sure that you're saying, I'm not taking responsibility for these things that were done for me. Some of these things are wicked, and we're not necessarily taking responsibility for those, but what we are saying is, Lord, I'm not going to blame somebody else and attach myself to that. This situation has happened, and you and I can sort this out. I know you can heal me in this situation, and we're going to be cut free from that abuse. So it's not necessarily taking responsibility, but I believe we have the power to take responsibility back and deal with those situations. Maybe just to reverse that sentence, there's no power without responsibility. And when you accept responsibility, then you carry the ability to deal with the blame. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, you're always pushing onto somebody else. It's their thing. They did that. They did that. Oh, and there's no dealing with it. And that person might not even be around anymore, that situation. But it continually haunts you. But when you take that back and you say, actually, Lord, look, this damages me. And I'm now going to take this to you and say, take responsibility. I'm no longer going to blame somebody else. I put forgiveness in that direction, but you and I are going to now deal with this situation. But there's rules of engagement. And something I was looking at, I've mentioned this book before, and it's going to form part of the message this week. There's a great book called Identity Crisis by Lincoln Bain. I mentioned this before, and some of the message is taken from that again this morning. Well, on page 34, he explores the principle of blame and how you can empower blame or take power away from blame. Because we've got to be careful how we engage with the enemy. And in a sense, there are rules of engagement. And this is quite interesting. Archangel Michael challenges Satan on two occasions. Can you think of them? We've read one this morning in Revelation. Can you think of another one? It's probably one of the most obscure stories that you kind of go, I wonder what that was all about. Remember when Moses died? They were wrestling over, well, where's he buried? And Michael and Satan were wrestling, and Satan said, I want to know where the body is buried. If you were to look in Jude 1:9, it really seems the most odd conversation. Jude, a little tiny book, it's only one chapter in there. You're going to have to look very closely for it. But Jude 1:9, it says this, but even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So Michael and the Satan are talking about the body of Moses. The devil wants to have the body. And Michael is saying, he understands the rules of engagement here, the Lord rebuke you. Now, unlike Adam and Eve, who blamed the serpent, Michael understood the order of responsibility and actually the principles that come with that. Even in that heated dispute, Michael did not accuse Satan because, one, if you blame, you empower. But secondly, Michael didn't have the authority to accuse him. Okay? I don't want us to get into legal terms necessarily now, but if you remember last week, if Satan has dominion or control over the earth, he therefore has essentially the legal rights to the earth. And in this dispute, he has got rights. So God himself, you can read it if you drop back to Deuteronomy 34:6, you will see God had to step into that situation. Deuteronomy 34:6. And we read that God buried him, that's Moses, in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day, no one knows where his grave is. Deuteronomy 34:6. Excuse me. I have put these in the notice sheet, so if you want to go back and look these up afterwards, all these references appear in there. It's a really obscure story about Moses' body, but actually it teaches us something. That we've got to be, there's rules of engagement when we actually start engaging with Satan. On this second occasion, we've read this in Revelation 12:7-11. Lincoln Bain points it out. He says, Michael's actions were very different. Now we read again, Revelation 12:7-11, right back at the end of the Bible. I know we're going from one end to the other today. It says, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient snake called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled into the earth. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. So why was this all-out war so different? We see Michael's first engagement with Satan. He says, the Lord rebuke you. But on this occasion, there's something different. Michael has authority when all he could do was rebuke him before. How did that come about? Look in your Bibles. It's there, verse 11. Verse 11 says, they triumphed over Satan, him, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And again, this picks up the tail end of the message last week, because Jesus took on the blame of mankind and kept silent even unto death. Jesus took all power and dominion from Satan. And this is a powerful principle that when we engage with an enemy, we understand where the authority comes from. Now, dominion, it's a funny word again. It's not a little minion, a little yellow thing. Dominion, it's supremacy, dominance, superiority, authority, mastery, control, command, direction, power, sway, rule, government, jurisdiction, or sovereignty. There's another bunch of words you could look at for dominion. But just to clarify, all of that was restored on behalf of mankind through Christ. And Jesus confirms this, which is where we started last week, right at the beginning of the Great Commission. We're going to look in Matthew if you want to dive in there, or the end of Matthew 28, 18, the beginning of the Great Commission. Actually, I put this one up on the screen. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now, this was a question actually one of our young people raised the other week. And as Nikki and I were talking about this, she went, oh, that answers that question for that person. You see, not only did Jesus reclaim dominion for man on the earth, but it also says in heaven. What is that all about? You see, we see if you go read through Job's story, that Satan, the accuser, would go back and forth between heaven and earth, accusing men. And we read that in Revelation a minute ago. Satan was continually in and out and accusing men before God. And many might have been taught, I don't know what you've been taught, but when was Satan thrown out of heaven? Was it before creation? Before Adam and Eve? What do we just read in our Bibles? Revelation 12, look it up for yourself. It's just explained that Satan was thrown out after the death of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb. It's by the blood of the Lamb. And that's why that's a very interesting story, looking at Michael. Who has authority? Jesus has authority, but not just on earth, but also in heaven as well. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Verse 9 in chapter 12, the great dragon was hurled down, the Ancient of Days, the snake called the devil or Satan, just in case you're not sure what the snake or the serpent was about. So the message today really is to engage or wake up our minds. I've actually done, if anybody knows the Matrix, the blue pill or the red pill, do you want to stay where you are or do you want to take the pill that wakes you up and you actually see everything for what it is? We need to wake up and engage our minds. This world may throw all sorts of things at us. Sometimes if it's bad, we think, well, it's the bad stuff. I understand that it might be some of the bad stuff comes from the enemy. There's bad stuff in this world. But the good stuff as well, the good stuff as well can be stuff that's sent to us to distract us from what our purpose is. So how should we confront Satan? We need to understand the rules of engagement too. We need to be careful with blame and who or what empowers it. And I want you just to catch that, because you might be blaming stuff again. And some folks said to me last week, you know, that's really helpful to try and catch that idea of blame. Because it might be just something we really basically do. But actually, it's fundamental. And if we engage with the Satan in that way, it's wrong. On our own, we cannot defeat Satan. Now, you might say, Darren, that's the most obvious thing you've ever said. On our own, we cannot defeat Satan. But I cannot tell you how many people try and do that. They might wrestle with all sorts of things. Worldly things, they might find all different ways, paths, religions, whatever that might be. But Christians too come up with all sorts of harebrained schemes sometimes about how they could defeat the enemy. But it's Jesus' authority that is important. And one of the things I want us just to focus on this week, we looked at blame a lot last week. I just want to reintroduce that concept of wounds. Now, I've learned over the period of time since we've been looking at wounds, if I say to somebody, well, what are your wounds? It tends to be one of those trigger words, because people instantly tend to know what their wounds are. Something wounded me. And sometimes the enemy can ride in on the back of that wound. And actually, that wound can be part of a blame situation again, because I am now wounded and therefore I blame. So the two kind of go hand in hand. You might speak to somebody and they'll tell you all of this stuff that's going on in their lives. And you can say, well, that's the symptoms. Lord, what is the root wound that's causing all this to happen? And when we come and deal with that root wound, all the symptoms will then disappear. And yet so often we try and deal with all of the symptoms. Wounds leave a scar, but left untreated, they will fester. What we've got to pray is when we look at this is, Lord, cut to the heart of the matter. Now, it's interesting because I did prepare this beforehand. And I know most people here will have experienced death of a loved one at some point in their life. And I know that's very raw for some folk here this morning. But if we have wounds in our lives that are left untreated, it ties in with blame. And blame is almost like this double whammy. The death of a loved one can actually leave a lasting wound. And you can blame all sorts of things that might have led up to that death. But what we've got to be really careful is we don't empower death with blame. Because it can either make us fearful of death, and it can shut us down and potentially unable to fulfill any purpose that God has called us to. I was speaking to a friend earlier in the week, and I know they lost their dad very early. And they're a wonderful person, and I can see so much potential in them. And I pray, Lord, heal that wound. Because he said some words to me that if I move forwards with this, well, Darren, you might up and leave and go. Or if I move forward, this person might leave me and I'll be on my own again. And I thought, do you know what? I know exactly why he's saying that, because the wound has been the death of a parent and he felt lonely and he doesn't want to be on his own again. We've got to be careful with wounds. They need dealing with. And the reason why I bring this and why I think this is so important in our message this morning is that CPM, Christian Prayer Ministries, are coming back to Limbrick Woods in March, and they're actually offering, good morning, they're actually offering some prayer ministry to say, look, what are the wounds? What are those things in your life which shut you down? What are those things that lead to fear that you would like to do that, but fear kicks in and I won't do it because I might be shut down again, or I might be hurt again. The extra effort sometimes requires real sacrifice to move forwards. And I'd be awful as a pastor if I didn't say, look, let's identify some of this. Because remember, we've got an enemy that wants to shut us down. The last thing an enemy wants any one of us to do here is to find our purpose. And worse than us finding our purpose is we actually do it. And if he can shut us down and says, well, actually, maybe next time, maybe next week, maybe next year, well, actually, that's not for me. That's not my thing. I'll look silly. I'll look vulnerable. I'll get hurt. The enemy shuts us down and robs us of our purpose. And that's why I think this message is so important about repurposing our lives. For those that have got children at school fairly recently, there's something called protective behaviours. Has anybody come across protective behaviours? Have you heard that? It might be a new concept to you. From a worldly sense, it teaches our children to behave in slightly different ways and to teach them to take responsibility for their actions. It's quite good, some of this teaching. An example would be, I've written it down because I don't want to get it the wrong way around, but if a young person was angry and this led to a fight, when diffusing the situation, the child is not allowed to say, they made me angry. Because actually you're putting blame on that person. You did that to me. They're taught to now say, I was angry because, and then explain the situation. Is that the right way around? Good. I'm glad I got it the right way around. Because the blame, you see, comes, we blame. You made me, you did that to me. If you hadn't have done that. And it's a blame thing. But instantly you say, do you know what? I was angry. I was really angry because it allows the child to take responsibility for their actions. And I thought that was really interesting, particularly when we're looking about blame and wounds, because actually we can project that onto somebody else. If you'd never done that, my life would be entirely different. To bring our motto verse into this and actually refer back to that video that we watched at the beginning, as Christians, we're called to live a life of righteousness and holiness or justice. And this is not about saying, oh, Darren, where's the law then? We've got to live by the law and do all the things that it says in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and so on, and we've got to obey the commandments. They're good things. But actually, more than that, just obeying, we're called to action. And what I want us to find is, what is our purpose? What is stopping you from that? For some here, you're saying, actually, do you know what? I am fulfilling my purpose, and it's hard, and the enemy's wicked, and he comes in and he tries to trip me up, but I keep pressing on. And we need to encourage you and keep praying for you and say, keep going, because it's hard. But last week, and this verse struck a chord with a number of people, so I just thought I'd repeat it again this week. James 4:17, and there'll be a few people smiling at me. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. Just think about that for a moment. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. If you know what you should be doing and you're not doing it, and fear is stopping you from doing it, or the enemy shuts you down in some way, shape, or form, and you know what you should be doing, the scriptures say it's a sin. Now, this is not a telling off. This is a recognizing of hopefully one of those light bulb moments where you go, oh, yeah, that is what I'm made to do. There was a quote I'm going to read to you. It's not Mark Twain. Apparently, Mark Twain gets attributed for all sorts of quotes that he never, ever wrote down. But it came from, I think it was a church out in America somewhere, and it appeared in a notice sheet. And it says, our times call not for words, but for action. It has been said the two most important days of a person's life are the day on which they were born and the day on which they discover why they were born. If you look in the scriptures, why are we born? It said it actually in the video as well. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. Speak up for the oppressed, those that cannot speak for themselves. And my prayer and closing comments really for this week is that we've got to take those bold steps to move on from fear or lethargy that the enemy uses to shut us down and repurpose our lives, that we might discover what it is that God has called us to be. We sung the song, We Call Me Out Upon the Waters. I don't know how many people here are very good at walking on water. I tried it a few times as a kid and it didn't work. Actually, we had where we used to have our office right by the sea, the tide came in and it'd been quite rough, and sometimes it can put like a frothy foam on the top. And when the bigger bubbles start to pop, it looks like concrete. And no word of a lie, there was a guy on a floating pontoon and someone said, can you get a rope for him? And he went, sure. And he went to go and stand on what he thought was concrete and boom, straight through. And it's like, walking on water's difficult. And yet, we sung those words, Lord, call me out upon the waters. Take me deeper. Take me further. And that's my prayer for us here this morning. What is God saying to you where you know you've got to take that step? It might require sacrifice. It might require giving something up in order to do it. I don't know what that looks like for you, but my encouragement is if God is saying that to you, then let's explore that together. But to do that, to move that forwards, I think we've got to diffuse blame. We've got to take responsibility over that situation and draw that back and say, I'm not blaming you for that anymore. I cut you free from that. I forgive you in Jesus' name, because I can't do it in my own strength. It's too difficult. But in Jesus' name, I forgive you for that. And I'm going to move on and I'm going to do all that God called me to. And again, I'll just encourage you, CPM is coming. They have 20 prayer ministry slots. So there's two evenings where they basically sit down, look at the wounds, the sins, the bondages. And what's the other one? There's four. I can never remember the fourth one. they say with the Ten Commandments, if you can't remember it, that's the one you're struggling with, isn't it? There's four things that they talk about over two evenings. You're welcome to just come along and listen to those evenings if you want to come to those. But there's actual prayer ministry slots available. And out of the 20 that were available, there's only 10 left because they've all gone already. So if anybody's interested, please come and see me afterwards, because it's not praying with me. It's a completely independent team that come in. But for those that went through it last time, they will wholeheartedly recommend it. And I can, if you want to go and talk to somebody, I can point you in the right direction, and they will say, this transformed my life, because they just sat down. When did you last have half a day of prayer or a couple of hours or someone really praying into that situation and saying, Holy Spirit, come and heal me from those things? So if you'd like to do that, please come and see me afterwards, because I know the places are going to go very quickly. But I believe that is an outcome for the message this morning. We deal with blame and we deal with the wounds. What I like in the book that Bain wrote is there's little summaries at the end of chapters, because I don't know about you, I read it, I go, that's really interesting, and then I go, what were the key points? And he puts key points at the end, and one of these at the end of the chapter had these key points. He says, remember, the enemy's primary goal was to get us out of the Garden of Eden and take control of our dominion, take control of what should rightfully be ours. How did he do that? He did that by stealing our identity. Think about that for a moment. He did that by stealing our identity. And he stole our identity by getting us to forget who we are. He stole our identity by getting us to forget who we are. I don't know about you, there's certain things that happened in my life, And it robbed me of something. I know when my father died, that robbed me of something. A little bit of joy, a little bit of magic in the world. Shouldn't use the word magic, but that little bit of mystery. Something changed. What changed? Does God need to come and heal that? That's what I had prayer for last time, and it made a big difference in my life. What does God need to restore? The rest of this series, Repurpose. You can see the tape up there. For those that have ever used audio cassettes, you can record over it. It can be rewritten. What is your story? Do you want to reclaim everything that God has planned for you? Do you want to step into that?
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.